Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wake up in the morning feeling like...
Waterman is extremely well.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try? Yes or no?
Just because I'm a woman.
I'm Nolly Waterman.
I'm Laura Jane Jones.
And this, my friends, is the Try Hard Podcast.
Okay, we are in record. Hello.
Hello, far away friend.
I feel really sad that we're doing this over the phone again.
I know, and especially this week I've got more time and we were supposed to be meeting up, but hey, such is life.
That's life. Are you a bit less stressed this week?
Not going to lie, I've got a little bit less work now I've finished commentating. But yeah, I don't know, it feels a bit surreal that I'm now not doing any of that work. But
did you enjoy it?
It was such a cool experience. Yeah, I definitely learnt loads and have a massive appreciation for everyone that works in the media, including yourself,
you.
To be fair. Mainly because when you commentate, you obviously, you know, you're going in and I've got all my own prep and, you know, all the notes on the players and the work with Simon Ward as a pairing. But also you get to see, like, how many people actually go into making that happen.
Yeah.
In terms of, especially when you're running a studio and all the producers and the people that provide all the stats. So shout out to Tim Groves for doing that. He's been an absolute legend, giving us all of weird and wonderful information about all the teams. Yeah, he's awesome. So yeah, it's been really nice to get to know people, get to see the kind of inner workings of it and learn lots about commentary. And I've had a range of responses.
Mainly positive, though.
No, it has. Like, I've had some wicked tweets from people that don't need to tweet me and don't know me, but they have enjoyed the stuff that I've done. I've had other people telling me that they've had to switch off and that I'm monotone and, yeah, all sort of like...
So what you're saying is they're not going to listen to the podcast?
Yeah, I don't think that they're lifelong listeners of ours.
Wow.
Or chat.
Did you like my tweet about how proud I was of you?
Yes.
I had like 60 likes. I was like, all right, guys, don't let it get too big-headed.
Yeah, no, I think that's, to be fair, I think it's one of your only outpourings of emotion towards me on social media. So thanks for that.
Enjoy that, because there won't be any more coming anytime soon.
So
you were very good, though. I have to say, I didn't just tweet that for the sake of it. I did mean that. Like, very proud of you, and... It is so hard, and I don't think, you know, people are so quick to criticise, I don't mean women, but anyone who's on co-coms, and it's such a hard job to do, and, you know, obviously I've done this for a long time and watched many, many people do it, and it was great to hear you doing it, and it is progress for the sport, because at the end of the day, and I know I beat this drum a lot, the reality is that of all the people commentating across the world on that competition, very few of them are actually World Cup winners, and you are.
I thought you were going to say women, but actually, you know, I was the only woman in the commentary team for ITV. Like, Mags was in the studio, and yeah, Michelle also put out a message on social media about, you know, the fact that she was proud of what I've done. And I suppose now I've finished and I'm out of it, and I can reflect back, I am proud of doing it, and there is so much for me to learn, and it is it is challenging, because you're super vulnerable when you put yourself on a stage like that, knowing full well that you have got minimal experience in the grand scheme of things. It's a very quick learning curve. Yeah. I had a huge game with Australia, Georgia, which turned out to be good for Georgia and an appalling display of rugby from Australia.
How horrible was that Kirtley Beale knockout as well?
Yeah, not good. Not good. And like there was big delays which we had to fill, which again was a different challenge. I also upset a couple of Australians, Sven Glaw being one of them, that I said gold and green rather than green and gold.
At least you didn't say yellow. They get really precious about the yellow thing.
So yeah, now I'm super chuffed to have done it, and I think that from my perspective, the amount of games that I had at six games, it gave me plenty of opportunity to learn and develop, and I had some good feedback from them and also working with Simon. So, yeah, well all done. Good experience all round. And now I have plenty of time to focus on enjoying the rugby, doing some coaching with Centre of Excellence this weekend, and then flying off to Japan shortly. So,
but yeah, also the good thing that before we started recording this, that I can't believe you just listed that, because before we started recording, you said you've got more time to focus on Match Pint.
Oh, you've brought it up. Yes, I have.
Now above me indeed in the overall, and I am stinking about it. I'm not going to lie. I cannot believe it. Like,
yeah. And it's nearly as good as round four. The fact that I'm back in the game and doing much, much better in Match Pint. It's nearly as good as Sophie Fanny Brid, who won round four. I don't know whether that's her proper name, but you need to get in touch.
As does Toby Hill. Toby Hill won round three, which we haven't announced on the pod. So Toby Hill and Sophie Fanny Brid, get in touch for your tryhards prizes. And for those who won rounds one and two, they will be with you soon. We have actually got this sorted now, so they'll be with you ASAP, we hope.
And yeah, I think round four, I got back in the game. My dad came joint second, Olivia Mulvey and Ollie Church. And
can
also,
I just say, though, that in round four, there was only like two games. So does it really
four
count?
It does. Just because you did badly.
Yeah, really badly.
But yeah, another couple of shout outs. We had four girls in the top four. So Sarah Nicholas, who came joint second with Jessica Jenner. I used to coach Sarah at Hartbury. Wicked girl from the Midlands, amazing family. Mum and dad are nuts, and they're just wicked fun. So yeah, little shout out to her. And then last but not least, which kind of links into the overall, Mr. Tommy Banks,
yes,
absolutely smashing it.
So Tommy Banks has got a couple of Michelin stars, and now he's top 10 in the tryhards overall rankings. And you've got to wonder which of those two things is going to be a more special achievement for him.
I know. So yeah, he's actually fifth overall. Although he is beaten by Garnet Mackinder, who is fourth.
Go on, Garnet.
So yeah, Garnet is coming fourth overall in the Tryhards League. Tommy is fifth. And I think we need to give a little shout out to Millie Wood and Joe Kingston. So Millie Wood is a long time listener of the pod.
Yeah.
Another person I coached at Hartbury. Obviously, it's my influence as a coach
Obviously.
That's allowing them to be so good. But yeah, the other person is Joe Kingston, who works for Green 22, and they work for Gallagher.
Uh-huh.
And look after me in their ambassadorial program. And they've got this like massive competition going between the three guys there.
Well, you've got to think that with the Gallagher starting this weekend, there's going to be a bit of drop off in their Match Pint form.
I know. Hopefully, because at the moment she's absolutely smashing me and coming equal ninth with Millie. So, yeah. But well done. We've given lots of shout outs. Charlie Cutting is still leading. He is clearly,
yeah, well done,
like,
Charlie,
an absolute whiz. So well done, everybody.
We did mention that the Gallagher Premiership starts this weekend, and it kicks off with an absolute worldie, Bristol Bath, on Friday night.
I know. What a fixture. I was really hoping to be able to get down to watch, but I unfortunately can't make it. But last year it was huge because Bristol turned over Bath. I think it's going to be challenging because of the players that are missing for both sides. And looking at the other matchups, I think Exeter Quinns is going to be good. Sarri Saints is going to be a decent one. But I reckon probably the most affected, and actually the fixture that most people won't necessarily look at, but in the grand scheme of what happened last year to this year, Worcester-Leicester. Because obviously Leicester had an absolute stinker of a year last year. George Ford pulled it out the back towards the end of the season. Yeah, and Worcester are one of those teams that are constantly towards the bottom. So you'd think that that's a fixture, but did improve. They've lost players. So Welshy, Josh Adams, no longer there. Benteo
isn't
there.
Welcome to the Blues, Josh Adams.
I'm pretty sure in saying, and I apologise if I've got this wrong, but the only player from their squad at World Cup is Joe Taufa-Ato, who is the hooker from America. So he'll be back shortly because he's obviously, I don't know whether they have a break actually, how long they're given.
I don't think Prem players do from like previous World Cups because of the nature of their contracts and stuff. People come back and are straight into it. So
yeah, so they're only missing Joe and then, but Leicester are absolutely decimated. Like they've got six England players gone and they're not
like
just
proper frontline players as well. When you're missing your hooker, your scrum half,
hooker.
Your 10.
Hooker?
Oh, no, not their
prop.
Hooker. Prop.
No, they're missing prop, Dan Cole, Ben Young's at 9, George Ford at 10.
Manu. Johnny May.
Johnny May. Who else are we missing? There's other players. So, yeah, I mean, they've got a good team, and having spoken to Guy Thompson, who plays in the back row, he was like really positive. Jordan Murphy was really positive about how their pre-season's gone. Prem Cup is a strange one because every team use each of those games differently. So I don't think you can really look
for a lot of clubs.
Yeah, I don't really think that you can look at those and think of anything that's going to be related to the Premiership because there's such different matchups and different weeks. But yeah, I think for me, that's the game of the weekend because of how challenged teams are going to be. And unfortunately, Leicester had such a poor start to last season. It then affected their run-in. I hope that they don't have the same effect because of the World Cup.
Yeah.
But every other team is kind of affected. And I think they're the team with the most amount of English players. Obviously, Sarries have got a lot of other different nations from their team. So, yeah.
Wow,
anyway,
I'm at Pontyebu Vale on Friday evening, so I won't be watching the kickoff of the Gallagher Premiership. I will be pitch side with a microphone in my hand at the legendary Sardis Road, which I checked last night, and as I suspected, they have got a plastic pitch there, which means I can wear trainers.
To be fair, I do like a trainer on the fact that they're now kind of like smart casual.
Oh, yeah.
As long as they're shiny white. And I saw that you recently did all right and got a new pair.
Yeah, thank you to Finn Russell. I had him as first try scorer on Sunday morning, despite the Scotland loss. That came in for me at 25-1. So I bought a new pair of Nikes on Monday, which are
nice.
Box fresh, looking fit.
Yeah, they're my favourite, to be fair. I do love a Nike trainer.
I actually bought an Air Force One. And then I was like, no, you're morphing into Nolly.
I've morphed into you with my hair. You're changing your style. I think that's a bit weird and wonderful. Anyway, this weekend, what am I doing? I am going to be obviously watching the rugby. However, I'm down at Wasps again. It's the Centre of Excellence, which is the under-18 academy that I'm looking after. So I've got those girlies coming in to train. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I think from a Tyrrell's perspective, probably the biggest games are Quinn's Bristol on the back of Bristol not beating Wasps.
Are you surprised by that result? I know that you kind of, you're wearing your Wasp, I was going to say Wasp's hat, but your Wasp's antenna.
I am probably wearing Wasp's hat this weekend because it's so cold now.
It's not that cold, man. You're going to Japan next week, you'll be fine. But were you surprised by that result?
Look, I knew it was going to be a hell of a game. I think that Bristol not having Kira Bevan at scrum half was a big one for them, only because she's playing some really good rugby at the moment. And the speed of ball meant that they could really get up into Snowy's grill from a defensive perspective. Yeah. But watching it online, and this weekend's Wasps Loughborough game is online, watching the game, I was blown away actually by Wasp's defence. It's something that they've worked on, and I know that Giselle was introducing different things as the season goes on, but yeah, massive hat tip to her, and also to the other LJ, the rugby LJ,
yeah.
Because set piece, I think Wasps are gonna struggle up front when they don't have Purdy. Obviously, we're missing, like, Rocky's moved clubs this year. Yeah. Amy Kakane has gone to Quinns. So in terms of experience, but yeah, I think another shout out from my perspective, Hannah West played, I think, in all three positions in the front row for Wasps at the weekend. Ended up in the last part of the game, ended up scrummaging against Sarah Byrne and held her own. So yeah, not I think the result, 10-18 to Wasps, is a huge result, and it'll be interesting to see how Kim selects this weekend, because there was quite a lot of unforced errors. Strangely, one from a couple from Snowy missing touch,
yeah.
From some penalties and taking a quick tap and turning the ball over. So, yeah, I think the Quinns Bristol game is going to be big, and as I say, Wasps Loughborough, it's a live stream this weekend. We're actually as a squad without the Irish players, so the women's game is affected, just like as we were talking about, the men's game is affected by World Cup players missing. I think what you'll notice now, because there's far more foreign players over playing in the women's premiership, different teams are affected at different times, yeah, depending on their recruitment.
Well, that's the thing, it's, you know, and we've now got Wales have announced their autumn fixtures, and I think one of those is kind of outside the bracket that other teams are playing in. And yeah, it's amazing how it's starting to mirror the men's game that much more, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's super exciting. I'm all for having foreign players come in and play in the premiership. I find it's good fun, for one, in terms of playing alongside other people that aren't English. But at the same time, we need to manage the number of people coming over, one, because of obviously it's taking an opportunity from an English qualified player, but also just in terms of, like, you know, teams are going to, and DORs are going to have to manage how many they have and when they're going to lose, yeah, players, because obviously that will affect their results. But just going back to the Bristol Wasps game, I think we need to give a huge shout out to long-time listener and ultimate tryhard. I think last season she got two nominations for Tryhard of the Week,
yeah,
Kate Alder. Capitano, little Nugs, she got player of the match, outstanding in defence. That really, really impressive in the 12 shirt. And also, even bigger news, she's become the first ever female columnist for Talking Rugby Union,
which is brilliant. And it's brilliant for Kate to be doing that, but brilliant for Talking Rugby Union to have the recognition that they need to have a female column there about the women's game, not just a female columnist, somebody talking about the women's game. So hat tip to them for bringing her on board and doing that.
Yeah, exactly. And I've read her first article. It's really interesting. It's well written. It's really nice. It's a great insight, and actually quite different from somebody that isn't involved in the international game, isn't recognised as a senior international. And yeah, I think that that's something that really highlights where the club game's going at the moment, because it's showing that there's interest in premiership players and people are being respected for playing premiership rugby.
Yeah.
And it's not just the big names that are wearing the white shirts, because, you know, there were so many wonderful women involved in the game at premiership level that are now giving up so much to balance alongside full-time work, full-time training.
Yeah.
We've spoken about that in the pod before, because that's the type of commitment I used to give when I was an international.
Yeah.
These girls are having to do it week in, week out for a club shirt. And I think that it's really important to recognise,
yeah,
how that balance works throughout the season and how that kind of is going to affect people in terms of,
yeah,
their risk of injuries and recovery and that type of thing, is where I suppose, like, Giselle Mather, actually, director of WAS, she is a big advocate for moving towards semi-professional opportunities for the club players.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of the next step now. So, yeah. Well done, Kate.
Well done, Kate.
Awesome work.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's other news as well that's flying high in the Women's Premiership. Jo Yap, she has been named as Director of Rugby at Worcester Warriors and for the women. And huge recruitment from them. She is an unbelievable coach and brilliant woman. She was actually one of my first captains. She captained the squad in 2006 World Cup as scrum half.
You're
massive
so
recruitment
old.
For them.
You are so old.
And actually, shut up. And actually, Yappy is so brilliant. So she was far ahead of her game in terms of game understanding. Her service was probably the best I think I've ever seen from a scrum half in terms of consistency. Like, even to this day, she was unbelievable. She retired from playing quite early. She has a family, she has two children. But she decided that she wanted to play a little bit of rugby, I think maybe after her first child, I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she'd moved down to the southwest from the Midlands, and she went to Cullumpton Ladies, who are pretty low level. I'm not quite sure what league they're in, but yeah. She thought, I'll go. Anyway, they asked her, have you ever played before? And she was like, oh, I used to play for Worcester. She didn't tell them that she played for England, was England captain at a World Cup, and as a World Cup runner-up. I think she was the youngest at her time, was the youngest cap player at 18. So I just pipped her by a couple of months. Literally a legend in the women's game. And she just basically went, yeah, I play for Worcester.
I love that.
Did it shows, Jo. But in terms of the recruitment, I think that makes her the fourth head coach as a female in our premiership, which I think is really super important. Yeah, and Snowy mentioned it when we talked about the Barbarians, having Anna Richards and Lisa Burgess as coaches in the Barbarians. So yeah, I think that's a real big statement and move forward as well.
It's a good segue onto what I wanted to ask you about. So news has broke this week in Wales that Richie Pugh has left his post as Wales Sevens coach and will be taking on a role at the Ospreys, which means that is a vacant post. And after your success with the Italy Fire Service in the Summer Sevens, would you be throwing your hat in the ring? Do you fancy it?
Well, especially because my grandparents are Welsh, so I am a little bit Welsh, so I've got that affinity.
You don't need to be Welsh for the role. It's, best person for the job. Do you fancy it?
To be fair, I think that's a challenging role. Richie actually was our forwards coach, our coach in Rio. He worked down with Team GB Women, great guy. I think he's really had it hard over the last couple of seasons in the Sevens program in terms of lack of support. All the best to him. He's a great guy. And his children are literally mini versions of him. I've never seen anything like it. But yeah, I don't think I'll be going for that post.
Okay.
But in other Sevens news, another post was actually taken up by Ben Lonergan. Len's actually quite a good name for him. Maybe I'll start that.
Really?
Yeah, Ben is an absolute ledge. He is completely bonkers, he is going to be the new S&C for England Women's Sevens. And KJ has been with the program since I was involved and done a huge amount for the game, so it's sad that she's leaving. But yeah, Ben I think is a superb recruitment for England, and he'll be awesome for the role. Past
half an hour they've announced the pools for Dubai, and England are in there with New Zealand and France and Japan. So Japan are obviously the invitational in Dubai, but yeah, that's their pool for Dubai, so it's got some
tasty one.
Work to do.
Yeah, but actually talking about Japan, the reason why they're invitational for those people that aren't sure how it works is because of Tokyo. So because of the Olympic Games,
into
the Olympics. So when there's an opportunity to have an invitational side, they will probably get the shout above other teams. There will be other nations that come in. But yeah, and talking actually, did you see in terms of recruitment for Team GB coaches?
Which I always think is an interesting one.
Yeah, so
Simon Amor takes on the men's role.
Yeah, and last time, so in Rio, we had Simon Middleton, so it was a double English head coach role for Team GB. But this time it's Scott Forrester from Scotland.
Scott by nature. Which, do you think that will, last time...
What a ridiculous saying.
Hey, I bet he's heard that before.
I've never heard it. Another one of your...
another thing that I've made up that everybody else in the Western world uses... obviously last time there were from certain quarters not complaints, but there were eyebrows raised about the makeup of the women's squad, in that there was one non-English player. Do you think that it was picked on merit, that it was nothing, there was nothing untoward about it, but do you think now that it's a non-English coach, it means that will disappear, that argument, if there is the same kind of balance to the team, or do you expect there to be a different balance this time?
At that point, we were very dominant in England.
Yeah.
Wales didn't really have a sevens program. It was very, they weren't competing a lot at the top level. They're obviously not on World Series, so they were missing out on that. We had Jazz and Lowry with us training, and we also had Steph from Scotland who was with us. And I think Steph had a really good shot, great player, and she was unlucky to miss out, but was up against some pretty strong competition from the England squad. I think the difference now is we saw Scotland come to the end of the World Series in Biarritz last year. They actually beat England, and they had some really quality players. So Rona on the wing, you've got Chloe Rowley as well, who's playing 15s yeah. at Quinns this year. They've got Helena Nelson, again, great player. I think the challenge that Scott's going to have in terms of his selection is how experienced are the players away from England Sevens. So we've got full-time professional players
yeah.
in the Sevens game competing on the World Series
yeah.
versus players that aren't playing regular Sevens. They're involved in 15s programs, so yes, they're playing rugby, but it is very different form of the game, and aren't playing on the World Series in a regular basis.
Do you think they should be competing as Team GB in the season that precedes the Olympics on the World Series?
I think for the benefit of Team GB, a massive benefit for them to do that. How that sits with the other unions and how that works, I don't know,
yeah.
because it's something that is really special about the Olympic Games for Team GB in terms of bringing everyone together. So you get like a barbarians effect of, in terms of being able to choose the best players yeah. from the different nations, but it's also a barbarian's effect when you don't get to play alongside each other. Yeah. Now, we had Jazz, Lowry and Steph all join us for full-time program in the build-up to Rio. So that although they weren't competing with us, we did invitational tournaments together. So from that perspective, they were with our program and knowing the players inside out from a training perspective. I think now that there's more women's players that could put their hand up and compete against England players for those spots. And I think Scott, I suppose going back to your original question, will Scott alleviate the challenge that it's going to be so England dominant? Yes, of course he will, because he isn't English. Yeah. So that's what it comes down
Scott
to.
By name, Scott by nature.
Yeah, so I think the challenge that he's got is, and what will be really fascinating is, when do those players get together? When is he looking at them? When can I put my hat in the ring as a contender?
Mate, if you want it, there's nothing stopping you apart from your hands,
a new set of lungs,
your knees, your lungs.
My age, my
your
lungs.
Age.
I'm really interested, and I think that this is going to be a huge opportunity for lots of other players to be involved. And, you know, to become an Olympian is so special.
Yeah.
The fact that England have qualified Team GB in the way that they have is a credit to those girls. Does that guarantee them selection? No. They're going to have to be fully fit and raring to go. I think that there's a notice for the three Welsh girls that are out in Australia and that are playing sevens.
Yeah.
I think that that, to me, shows that they're key to do it.
It shows
with Jazz.
Intent, doesn't it?
Yeah, in particular, Jazz out there, who was an Olympian from Rio and is, by the sounds of things, carving up out there. So I think it's something that needs to happen quite quickly, and now he's been recruited. It'll be interesting to see what he's doing behind the scenes to make sure that Welsh players, Scottish players and English players are getting the opportunities that they need to be the best that they can be.
Whilst we're on the sevens chat, I just want to give a quick mention to Abby Burton and her new Instagram about body positivity. And I think it's a really interesting angle on body positivity from the fact that she...
Say that quickly.
I can't say body positivity. I don't know why I can't say that word. But I think, do you know what? It's one of those things. When I saw Abby had started the account, I had a little look at it and I thought, you know, this girl's an athlete, like how can she have any issue? And it's really interesting the way that she's kind of talked about the fact that she's not always happy in her own skin. And I think it's a really important message to all young girls that, you know, we all have the same self-consciousness and stuff like that. So well done to Abby for starting that, and hopefully, you know, it helps a few young girls who need a bit of empowerment, who feel that they can't be heard and stuff.
Yeah, so for anyone that wants that, it's abs.lutelypositive.
If you go on Tryhard, we follow her on Tryhard, so you can find it in our who we're following. So good luck to Abby.
And there's actually a really cool interview recently about Jodie Onsley, who is Ounsley, I think. That's how you say it. So she's sharing her story about the fact that she is profoundly deaf. She's full-time in the England Sevens now and got her first cap in Glendale. Really nice little player, real good athlete. But yeah, playing as a deaf player. And Abby has brought that up as something that is about body image and confidence and that type of thing. So yeah, big shout out to our Northern friend, Abby Burton.
Well done, Abs. Right, before we wrap this up for the week, I want your predictions for the quarterfinals this weekend.
Is that because you want to beat me on match point? Because you're not beating me at the moment, are you?
Well, I don't...
All right, England will win. England will win. New Zealand will win. South Africa will win. And Wales will win.
Lol.
What about you? I think the awaited game of South Africa-Japan...
I know.
We don't know which way it will go. It will go South Africa's way. They're too big. They're too heavy. I think Japan will stay with them. I think it will be a wicked game. But in terms of, I think, flair, excitement, game management, South Africa have that in abundance across their back line, and their forward pack are unbelievable in terms of their power and strength. And I think that as much as Japan will work their socks off, Michael Leach, oh my God.
What a legend.
What a legend in terms of how hard he was hitting Scotland. But I think that the difference between them and South Africa is a totally different dynamism. Yeah. And the other side of it is think how much emotional energy Japan went through for that game. You know, and the fact that they've achieved history, the fact that they've gone through it, and yes, they've got a week to recover, but that's going to take them months to recover from.
Do you know the one thing about Japan, though, that, like, is this kind of glimmer, this, like, chink of hope or light that I just can't get past is they don't give away penalties. And that opportunity to score being taken away from a team, doesn't matter how big and bulky they are, I just, there's something in that for me, something about Japan that I hope they don't win, because I don't want to play them in a semi-final if Wales beat France, so
are you playing?
yeah mate, you never know.
Oh, right.
And you're very confident about England Australia.
I don't think I'm confident
green
about
and gold win there.
Yeah, green and gold. I don't think I'm, like, super confident about any of them. And that's what I think is going to make this weekend so exciting for everybody. Because you can't really say that any of those are guaranteed. And probably the only one where it's a little bit clearer, I think, is New Zealand-Ireland. Because Ireland just aren't firing. However, that doesn't mean that they won't, you know, because they've got the players to do that. They're, you know, Sexton's back fit. He was absolutely outstanding in the last game. So, I think watch this space. If you're going to be playing, then you need to make sure that you get your flights booked and polish your boots up.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, maybe tryhards will be on tour next week. Who knows?
Right. Have a great week, my friend.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.